In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So we're on page 10, volume 34, 4, 1937. Now you must know, and when Jesus says you must know, this is a command from Jesus Christ. He is saying you have to understand this. To live in the divine will, you have to know this. So he says basically about Louisa. When Louisa has given me her human will with a firm decision and with sure knowledge of what she has done, without ever wanting to know her human will again, she has already taken her place in mine. So here Jesus is saying, you have to know this. The one who has done this is Louisa. Now Our Lady lived in it because she's the mother and queen of the Holy Divine Will. Jesus lived in it because he's the Son of God. But the first person born of original sin has already taken her place in God's most holy divine will. And that is Louisa. This is why we love Louisa so much. And he says, and by right, I am. So he uses God's name. I am the owner of Louisa's human will. And see, that's what God wants for us. He wants to be the owner of it. Why? This is what he planned from the beginning. It was never ours. It was never supposed to be ours. We were supposed to be in God's image and likeness. And when Adam did his human will, he threw God out, said, I'm not doing your divine will. I'm going to do my will. I'm going to do what I want. And again, that's what we say when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. This is what Jesus is saying. I want to bring you back to the place where you were before the fall of Adam. And he says very clearly, so do you think it is that I easily surrender these rights? Not at all. I shall use all divine arts, and I, God, shall put in the field my own divine power, so that what interests me, God, so much may not be ever taken away from me again. See, he says, I came to redeem mankind with my mother. My mother co-redeemed with me, Jesus says. Why? So that I can now sanctify you. That's the third fiat. So he says, you must know, and again, this is a command from Jesus, that this is the strongest bond between God and man, between creator and creature. The surrendering of her human will, this is what Louisa did, and in this way, Louisa becomes inseparable from us, triune God, as to no longer be able to detach herself. We, triune God, feel divine life, her life, as our own, because the one who is who is the will that animates us, because one is the will that animates. So there's not two wills. There's not the human will fighting against the divine will. There's just one will, and that's the will of God, which is found in Louisa. Now, do you think that with one thought, with one feeling, these bonds can be broken? He says, our inseparability lost, we would surrender what is ours without any resolute and repaired acts on her part, that she wants her human will back. So he says, this gives us hope. If you think that, you know, once you say you want to live in the divine will, and then with one act you say, I don't want to live in the divine will. He says, do you think that can happen? He says, what God is going to show us is that once you say you want to live in it, God holds you at that word. Okay, now, when you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, when you sin, you're out of the divine will. But you can come back in by going to confession, by saying to God, I'm sorry, I want to return to the divine will. And God says, good, let's start again. He knows how weak we are. And this is why he gave us the sacrament of confession. He knows that the fallen human nature is very far from what God had planned. It broke the bond of unity between God and man. And yet Jesus comes to earth to redeem us. Our Lady co-redeems with Christ. Why? So that we can he can bring back this separation. And this is why he says this. My daughter, do you deceive yourself? More so, since our love for the soul is so great that as soon as she gives us her human will, we wall up the creature, first with a wall of light, in such a way that she, if she wanted to get out, the light eclipses her and she does not know where to move her step, because she finds light everywhere. And not knowing where to go, she draws back and hides in the bosom of her creator. So this is what he did with Louisa. And what he's doing with us, once we say we want to live in the divine will and we fail, he says, we want to get back. We go to confession. We say to the Lord, I'm sorry. I want to live this life. Let me back in. And God goes, okay, come on back in. He wants us this is our hope. Little by little, we're learning this. Little by little. It's like two steps forward, one step back. You know, two steps back, one step forward, three steps forward, one step back. What's happening is we're going to fail, but God has given us the sacraments and the sacramentals to help us come back to him. And this is what's so beautiful. Never lose hope. There's nothing that can make God let you lose this. It's only you, and if you want this, strive for it. And this is why he says the second wall. The second wall is everything that my holy humanity did while on earth. So Jesus' sacred humanity is very, very important. That's why he says you have to go to purgatory if there is anything in our lives that separates us from the sacred humanity of Jesus, the holy humanity of Christ. So we are purged. Now, what are we purged of in purgatory? Our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. That's what we're purged of. That's what we're purified of. God doesn't want us to continue to be miserable human beings, but to totally trust in him, totally to completely abandon ourselves in him. So what happens is the Lord looks at us and he says, what do I have planned for you? I have eternity planned for you. What do I want for you? I want you to be, this is what he says to Louisa. I want you to become my divine masterpiece. See, he loves us so much that each and every one of us is different, unique. And he loves our uniqueness. And he wants us to become what he has planned for us from the beginning of time. So when we fail, and we're going to, unfortunately, we go to confession. And we stay on this path. We strive to be on this path by giving our fiat and everything so that there is no worry. There is no fear. There is no anxiety, complaints, negativity. And what will happen is eventually there will be no sin. This is what Jesus promises us. So he says this, the second wall is everything that my holy humanity did while on earth. My tears, my works, my steps, my words, my pains, my wounds, my blood form a wall around this happy creature, that's us, to prevent their exit. The happiness is what we have that prevents us from the worry, the misery. And as soon as we become clouded with worry, fear, anxiety, we go, no, I don't want this. I want to go back to living in the divine will. I want that peaceful, joyful, happy life. So he says, in fact, my sacred humanity contains the divine secret, the divine strength, the divine life in order to give divine life to the soul who lives in my most holy divine will. Now, do you think after having obtained the intent of conquering this human will by dint of pains, I, God, would let what cost me blood, life, death escape from me? So he says, once I bought you, he says, I'm not going to let you escape. Do you see how joy-filled you become? Knowing that even when you fail, we can turn back to God and say, Lord, I want to begin to live this abundant life. And then you have more of a grace than you had before. Because then you recognize, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to be worried anymore. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to complain. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to sin. Ah, he says, you have not yet understood my divine love well. If it was about me, a mere resignation, it would be easy to do and not to do my divine will. But these creatures have never really surrendered their rights to me. These creatures keep holding on to their human will. We don't want to be like that anymore. And therefore, now they are resigned. Now they are impatient. Oh, now they love heaven. Now they love earth. But for the one, this, now he's talking about Louisa and us linked to Louisa. For the one who has given me their human will. And that's the six steps. We're on step number three. The soul has taken her place in the divine order. The soul wants and does what we, triune God, want. The soul feels herself queen, and therefore it is almost impossible for the soul to get out of our fiat, nor would she adapt herself to becoming a servant, a slave, if she went out of our divine will again. We become truly sons and daughters of God. This is what baptism is. This is why when we are baptized, we are in God's image. Now with this great gift of the divine will, we enter into God's likeness. This is astonishing. Why are we so happy? Jesus is giving us the way and the how this can happen. The saints didn't have the way and the how. They didn't have Louisa. They didn't have the Book of Heaven. Why? It wasn't time. Just like it wasn't time for Moses and King David or any of the great men and women of the Old Testament to be baptized, to be ontological changed. It wasn't time. They didn't have the opportunity to receive the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ and Holy Eucharist. It wasn't time. They didn't have the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Why? It wasn't time. But when Jesus came, when he and the Blessed Mother brought the Catholic faith, the universal life back to mankind, we had that opportunity. Now, he says, now I want you to be sanctified. Do you understand the time we're living in? Why everything's falling apart? The devil knows his time is over. The kingdom is coming. And Jesus is saying to us, begin to live this peaceful, joyful, happy life. Begin to become one with God as God originally planned from the beginning. So now he says the third wall. The third wall is the whole of creation that feels in the soul the operating virtue of the divine volition, whose life all created things possess. Listen to this. In order to pay her homage, they form a wall around her. The sun with its light, the wind with its might. See, this is, you're learning how to pray the rounds of creation. Everything belongs to you. The sun, the moon, the stars. St. Francis gave us a hint of that. Sun and moon, praise the Lord. Nights and days. Well, so did Daniel. Now Jesus says, I want you to possess all of creation. This is what he's saying. In sum, all created things feel their creative power and operating virtue ever new that operates in the little children of the holy divine will, linked to Louisa. While they cannot do more than what they are doing, so they run around her and enjoy the work of that fiat by which they are animated. Therefore, don't you worry. This is a command from Jesus Christ. Don't you worry. When you worry, you say to Jesus, you're not a good God. I can't trust you. I've got to take this into my own hands because you can't do a good job. That's insulting to Jesus Christ. Worry is a terrible thing to say to God. I'd hate to stand before God and he'll say, this is how many times you didn't believe in me. When you worried, when you were fearful, when you were anxious, when you were complaining, when you were negative, when you were sinning. Jesus says, I don't want you to do this anymore. I want you to live with total trust, total confidence in me, the Lord God Almighty. That's what he's saying to us. Enjoy, this is what he says, live this abundant life, the peace of the divine will that possesses you. And your Jesus shall take care of everything. There's no worry. Oh, Father, you don't understand. I have to worry about my children. You're saying to Jesus, you're not a good God. That's going to be a horrible thing to do, to stand before the Lord. When he shows us, this is you were saying to me within this situation, in that situation, in this situation. We can repair and redo all of that. Lord, I want to repair and redo all the times I worried. that I didn't trust you, that I didn't believe in you, that I didn't have confidence in you. God goes, good. Repair not only for yourself, repair for all mankind, past, present, and future. And this, if you haven't read the How to Repair and Redo, it's glorious. It is glorious. Every night to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Jesus says, you will represent all mankind. With your pleading, have mercy on us. I am sorry for not trusting you. I want to believe in you more. It's as if all mankind is kneeling before you. Now, the Holy Church already says this about us when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. One person in front of the monstrance represents all mankind. Is your prayer to adore God and to love God and to praise God and to thank God and to glorify God and to worship God in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future? If it's not there, you haven't learned how to pray in the divine will yet. You got to start with your prevenient act in the morning and your actual acts throughout the day. This is renewing the face of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth. That's glorious. That's been given to us by Jesus himself. And therefore, we're not just praying for our family, our friends, our neighbors. We're praying for every human being, from Adam to the last person. We're praying for everybody. We want everyone to adore God and be one with God as he originally planned. Volume 34, 6-6, 1937. You must know, again, this is a command from Jesus Christ, that my interest, Jesus says, and the love that burns me, Jesus Christ, for what I, God, want the soul to live in my most holy divine will is so great that I, God, myself, take on the commitment of everything. I, God, myself, make up for the soul in everything. Do you believe that? That's what he's saying. He's our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. He has plans, and he's asking us to begin to live this abundant life, to get out of the way and let him do. However, I do this when there has been a firm and constant decision of wanting to live in my most holy divine will. That's what we do every morning when we wake up. All throughout the day with our actual acts. And then at night before we fall asleep, this is what we do again. This is our life. On the part of the soul which is not at fault and does as much as she can. Listen to a secret of mine, my daughter, where my divine love makes me reach. Listen to what I, God, do when out of strict necessity of human life in this life and also mine, due to the pains that I dispose myself, that I myself dispose, cause the soul to remain as though dazed and dismayed, and therefore the soul is unable to follow the acts of the life that reigns in her. I, who want this life not to be broken from me, because it is a life indeed, not the virtues that can be practiced at intervals or in circumstances, but with life, there is the whole necessity for a continuous act which I, God, I keep guard and maintain my jealous sentry. As soon as I, God, see that the soul interrupts her course, I myself, as God, do what she should be doing. Do you believe that? This is what Jesus is saying to Louisa. If you want to live in the divine will and you fail, I will continue. Come back to me and we will begin again. I won't cut you off as I did with Adam. I can't. Jesus says, I have redeemed you. My mother has co-redeemed with me. Why? So that you can be sanctified. That's what this great gift of the divine will is. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe he loves us so much? Then my operating and my fiat stirs the soul And the soul comes back to herself and continues her course in my most holy divine will. And I, without ever even telling her anything about her stop, I, God, bind it from where she left and where my act followed, so that the life of my fiat may not remain broken in her, because I, God, myself, have made up for everything. Jesus is doing this. He loves us so much. Read the book of heaven. You can't be sad anymore. Read what Jesus says. More so, since in her human will, she wanted, but her weakness interrupted it. Hear then my divine love for the souls to live in my most holy divine will is so great that at any cost, even if it should take continuous miracles, I, God, shall make them. How much our God loves us. This is coming to the earth. The kingdom of God is coming to the earth as it is in heaven. This is the only prayer that Jesus taught us. This is going to happen soon. Soon. That's why those in the world that are away from God are terrified. They do not want Jesus Christ. They do not want his will, and they are terrified. There's nothing to be afraid of. If you love Jesus Christ, get closer to him. If you love the Blessed Mother, get closer to her. How? Read and study and put into practice the truths that Jesus gave to Louisa in the Book of Heaven. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. We should be glorifying God, because what's coming is the kingdom. The kingdom of the evil one is going. It's gone. He's the one that's terrified. But have you noticed my tenderness, my strong love, Jesus says? After the soul has failed to follow her course, I, God, do not scold her. I, God, do not say anything to her. And if I see that she realizes her falling short, I, God, encourage the soul. I, God, compassionate the soul so that she may not lose confidence in all goodness. I, God, say to the soul, do not fear. Don't worry. Don't be upset. Don't be anxious. I myself have made up for you, and you shall be more attentive, won't you? And she, in seeing my goodness, loves me, God, more. When we read the divine will, we fall more in love with God. When we read the divine will, we fall more in love with Our Lady and our Lord. We fall more in love with the Holy Church. We fall more in love with this universal life, this Catholic life. God is going to bring about the greatest thing ever. The evil one will have to go. His minions will have to go. God's children are going to reign in the kingdom. Do you see what time we're living in? Remember what Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation in Rome. What did she say? Time is now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of Lucifer. The kingdom's coming. We have to get ready for the kingdom. So what does God do in the worst of times? He gives us the book of heaven. In the worst of times, he gives us this great and glorious gift of the divine will. Why? He's wrapping it up. He's bringing the kingdom. You got to understand where we are. We're very, very close to a new beginning, a new era, as Jesus says. Read the thing on the new era. How amazing this is, that God has predestined us to live at the time when the new era has begun. John Paul II says, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. He said this when? In 2004. 16 years ago, he said this. You have to understand, we're on overtime. He told the world, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. That was before 2000. We're 20 years overtime. Great things are right around the corner. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be complaining about. It's get ready for what God is going to do. And she, the soul, in seeing my divine goodness, loves me more. And I, God, know that I must give of my own so that the soul may live in my divine will. And this is why I, God, shall act like a king who greatly desires for his kingdom to be populated. He lets the whole world know that if anybody wants to come into this kingdom, he wants to know it, so that he, the king, can send them money for the trip and shall let them find a home at their disposal, as well as clothing and abundant food. This king commits to giving them such riches as to make them rich and happy, and the goodness of this king shall be so great that he shall conduct his life together with his people who loves him so much. For as he ransomed them with his riches from the miseries and the unhappiness of the life that they have lived. That's what's coming. And he has given us the way and the means of how this is going to happen. And as you read the Book of Heaven every day, and I recommend the calendar, every day, within 1 year, you've read all 36 volumes. At the most, it's 10 pages a day, maybe. Sometimes 5, 4. As you read this, it completely changes your whole view of life. It completely changes your view of the church, the things that are going on. We see very, very clearly that what's happening right now is happening because the evil one is losing. He's very angry. He's very upset. He thought he could kill God. He ain't gonna do it. So Jesus says, so I am. He uses God's name again. I shall let the entire world know that I, God, want the people of my divine will. And as long as they give me their names, this is the consecration, and make known to me that they want to come into my kingdom, this is the fiat. I, God, shall give them all goods. That's the Book of Heaven. It is unhappiness that shall have no place. Each one shall possess his kingdom. Each one shall be a king of himself, and all shall live together with their God. I shall make such a great display in giving. See, God is gratuitous. That all mankind shall remain captivated. My daughter, oh, how I, God, long for this living of the souls in my most holy divine will. And you, Louisa, and the little children of the holy divine will, pray and long together with me, Jesus, that it may be sweet for you to lay down your life for a kingdom so holy. What does that mean? No more doing your human will. I'm not going to do anything human anymore. I'm only going to do things in the divine will. Because Jesus is going to do it. Jesus breathe in my breathing. Jesus beat in my heart beating. Jesus dance in my dancing. Jesus sing in my singing. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Not just when I pray, but in every heartbeat, every breath, every thought, every word, every deed, as you originally planned. Volume 34, 6, 29, 28, 19, 37. You must know, again, a command from Jesus Christ, that as the soul decides, and that's what we're doing, we're deciding repeatedly and firmly to no longer live of our human will. I don't want to live in my human will anymore, but of God's most holy divine will, her name is written in heaven with indelible characters of light. And she is enlisted in the celestial militia, the army of God, as heiress and daughter of the kingdom of the divine will. One of the things Jesus says is make a banner, make a flag. What platoon are you part of? What rank is Jesus bringing you to be? This is glorious. His kingdom is a kingdom of love. We are the warriors of love. It's the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. But it has to start within us. When we pray the Holy Rosary, when we wear the scapular, when we are faithful to the teachings of the church, that's the beginning. A faithful and obedient Catholic, that's where it begins. Going to Holy Mass, spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, using the sacraments and sacramentals, that's the beginning. Now, what's coming? It's to begin to live in the divine will as Jesus originally planned. He says, but this is not enough for our love. We, triune God, confirm the soul in good in such a way that the soul feels such horror towards the slightest sin that she can no longer be capable of falling into it. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts, no more sin. Not only this, but she shall remain confirmed in the goods, confirmed in the love, confirmed in the sanctity of God. And she shall be invested with a prerogative of the blessed of the saints in heaven. To no longer shall she be looked upon as an exiled soul, as if she is on earth, but she is there as the officiant of the celestial militia, not as an exile. Enter into this army of God, this army of love, army of light, army of life. This is what God is asking. She shall have all the goods at her disposal. She shall be able to say, because his holy divine will is fully mine, what belongs to God is mine. That's a true son and daughter of God, image and likeness of God. This is what God has planned for us. Even more, she shall feel as if the possessor, as the possessor of her God. That's what Our Lady did. It's the true life of Mary. It's the true life of Jesus. And since she no longer operates with her human will, but with God's whole, most holy divine will, all the barriers that prevented her from feeling her Creator have broken. We are one with God, fused with God in his most holy divine will. God is gazing in our gazing. He's listening in our listening. He's speaking in our speaking. He's beating in our heart beating. He's breathing in our breathing. His blood is circulating in our blood circulating. Distances have disappeared. Dissimilarities between God, her, the soul, and God no longer exist. This is the divine will that our God is asking us to enter into. Nobody's there yet but Louisa. The first one, as I said earlier, the first one who will possess this gift is the Holy Father. That's why we pray that he receive this gift, one with Louisa, so that he has the keys to the kingdom to open the door for all mankind. Why do you think we're going through what we're going through? The devil doesn't want this to happen. Our job is to trust in God, believe in God, hope in God, confidence in God. Our prayers are very, very powerful. The soul shall feel so loved by God who created her as to feel her heart explode with divine love, to divinely love the one who divinely loved her. And to feel divinely loved by God is the greatest joy, the greatest honor, the greatest glory for a soul. That's why the children of the divine will are so happy. You're beginning to feel this. You're beginning to live this. 534, 712, 1937. Now, I, God, want to tell you another consoling surprise. It's all surprises. When the creature decides with unfathomable firmness to live in our divine will, our divine satisfaction is so great that what we, triune God, must do at the moment of death is to confirm that the creature in this good in which she dwells will dwell forever. It's confirmed. You want the God divine will? It's yours. Indeed, you must know, this is another command from Jesus, that everything the soul has done in life, the prayers, the virtues, the pains, the suffering, the good works, serve to form our little divine life in her soul. not a blessed enters into heaven. Not one person enters into heaven if he does not possess this divine life. That's why many, most go to purgatory. Because they haven't said fiat to God yet in all situations, and they have to be purged of all that is human. All that's opposed to the holy humanity of Christ has to be gone. Why? So that we can begin to live a divine life according to the good that they have done. Insofar that they have loved me and fulfilled my divine will, so they shall possess the divine will, some smaller, some greater, because true happiness, true joy must be possessed from within the soul. So each of them shall possess their God inside and outside of themselves, giving them ever new joys, so much so that upon dying, the souls are not filled up to the brim with the love of my most holy divine will. I will confirm them. Yes, if they do not enter into heaven, I, God, send them to purgatory. Why? To fill the voids of my love and of my divine will by tents of pains, longings, and sighs. That's the holy souls in purgatory. And when they have filled themselves completely in such a way that they now appear fully transformed into my love and into my divine will, then do they take flight towards heaven. Now, for the ones who no longer want to do their human will, hopefully that's us, only God's holy divine will, we do not want to wait until that moment. Our love leads us with an irresistible force to anticipate the confirmation of the good and of converting our divine love, our divine will, into the soul's own nature. Therefore, the soul shall feel that my divine love and my divine will are hers. The soul shall feel my divine life more than her own. But with what a difference from those who are confirmed at the moment of death. These shall no longer grow in good. Their merits are finite. While the others, my divine will, they shall grow always, always eternally. The merits do not end. Rather, they shall have divine merits that are never ending. As they continue to love me, as they continue to live in my divine will, so they shall know me more. I, God, shall love them more and increase their glory. I, God, can say that I run in each of their acts. Why? To give it my kiss, to give it my love, to recognize that act as my own and give it the value, the merit, as if I myself had done it. You see why this is not doing the will of God. It's living in the will of God. You cannot comprehend what we, triune God, feel towards the soul who lives in our divine will, how we love the soul who lives in our divine will and want to make her content in everything, because in her we find the purpose of the creation realized. Image and likeness. All the glory, all the things to give us centralized in her. And what's more, our fulfilled will is everything for us, triune God. This is why God breathed into the dust. You see what God is doing? This is astonishing. He's asking us, he has predestined us to live at this time to give us the gift of gifts. This is humbling, to say the least. Why would he choose us? Volume 35, 9, 6, 1937. My daughter, all the good of the creature is tied to my divine will. If the soul unites herself, unties herself from the divine will, all her goods are ended. You must know, and this is a command from Jesus, that every single time the soul does her human will, she gambles away the divine with all the divine goods. And therefore, she loses all that is beautiful, all that is holy, all that is good. It's an incalculable loss. The poor creature is thrown into the most squalid misery. The soul loses the rights to all divine goods. The soul is invested by such unhappiness that it gives her no peace. And even as it seems that she has something, she does something good, it is only apparent. And it ends up torturing her completely. On the other hand, each time the soul decides with total firmness to do my divine will, she gambles away the human will, she gambles away the miseries, she gambles away the passions, she loses all evils, the miserable rags, the filthy clothes that the human will has formed for her. What a happy loss. This is why we're happy. Little by little, God is freeing us from ourselves. What is it? Our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. We begin to live in the fiat. To lose evils and misery is glory. To lose evil and miseries is victory. To lose evils and misery is honor. But to lose the goods is cowardice and dishonor. See then, if the creature wants it, she can recover from the great loss of my divine will that she suffered by doing her own human will, more so since she shall have the help of our divine power, of our divine love, of our divine will itself. See, the help is from God himself. It's nothing. We're nobodies. We're nothings. And he says, let me do this for you. It's a little lamb that is next to the shepherd. He will take care of it. He's not going to let it get ripped apart by the wolves. By acquiring again the rights to do goods, all shall defend her in order for her to recover from the lost gain. Do you see what God is doing? 5:35, 10:12, 1937. Little daughter, my divine will, why do you fear? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Give it to the Blessed Mother. Give it to our Lord. In my divine will, there are no fears. But my highest love, highest courage, highest firmness, once it has decided, it never moves. More so, since the soul who lives in my divine will does not pray, listen to this, but commands. Once the people say, where do you find this command prayer? Read the divine will. It's all throughout it. The soul who lives in my divine will does not pray, but commands. Why? It's Jesus. Take my prayer and make it your command. It's Jesus that's praying in us. And she herself take it as her owner, whatever she wants. Ask, believe that you received it, and it is yours. Do you believe the words of Jesus? If you don't, you're not going to believe the book of heaven. If you believe the words of Jesus, what does he say? Ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. We place everything at the soul's disposal. And this, because all is sacred. All is holy in that soul. More so, since by living in our divine will, she shall not want, nor shall she ever take or command anything but what we, Triune God, want ourselves, what ourselves want. Therefore, listen to this, her commands delight us, Triune God. Her commands make us, Triune God, joyful. And we, Triune God, say, take, tell us, what do you want? The more you take, Jesus says, the more you make us, Triune God, happy. Do you believe that? See, a lot of people pray like this, please, 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 please. They pray, please, 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 pray, please, please, please. Ask, believe that you're receiving is yours. Jesus, take my prayer and make it your command. That's what Peter did. When he walked on the water, he says, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. Jesus said, come. He got on the water and started walking. He walked 20 feet, started sinking because he became afraid. And Jesus didn't pat him on the back and say, hey, good job. You walked 20 feet on the water. He said, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? When the creature wants our divine will, all her acts are like many messengers between heaven and earth. They go up and down continuously acting now as a messenger of peace, now a messenger of love, now a messenger of glory. We'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.